chapter 15 in the Gospel of John, if you found that and you're able, stand with me, please. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 9. Verse number 9, okay? Follow along. The Bible says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." I want to speak this morning on the subject, enjoying Christ's love. Enjoying Christ's love. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to be in church this morning. I thank you for a warm heart. It may not be warm outside to our physical body, but Lord, we have sunshine in our soul today because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for His Word which we have with us. And I pray that your Spirit will come and help us all illuminate our minds. I pray that we'll do our part. Help us to concentrate. Help us to put out of our minds the busyness of the afternoon or tomorrow or the troubles that linger from yesterday. God, help us now to think on these things. Think on Scripture and what your Word has for us. And may your Spirit help us, both speaker and listener, this morning, and speak to our hearts as only you can. I pray in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you and be seated. Well, it's Valentine's Day. We've talked about that. How do you look at it? Another opportunity for Hallmark to make a ton of money? Or is it another opportunity to encourage husbands and wives, those who are engaged, to express their love for each other? Well, I guess, again, it depends on how you look at it. Valentine's Day has been around for a long time. I never knew there was such a thing as Sweetest Day until I married a Yankee, all right? And I don't know that we didn't ever celebrate Sweetest Day down in Georgia. By the way, it's good to have Bethany Seaman home for the weekend from over at college. Good to have her here. And I thought of Sweetest Day, I thought of Bethany. Isn't that nice? And so just automatic there. That's what your mother said. Okay, amen. So, but anyway, spouses ought to keep the fires of love burning in their relationship. I want to say this today. It is a blessing to enjoy a spouse's love. It's a blessing. And to those of you who are young married, newly married, just a few years into marriage, you're in the busyness of life right now. You've got little ones to tend to. You got teenagers to rear. You know what? Keep the fires of love burning. One of these days, they leave. And then it's just you and her, you and him. And I'll tell you something. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It really is. It's just a joy. It's a blessing to be in a relationship with your spouse where you can enjoy their love. It's possible to be married and not enjoying the love of your spouse. It's possible. Love is emphasized on this special day, but unfortunately, in a world inundated by evil and sin, the definition of love is mischaracterized and too often abused. Too many people assign the word love to a relationship where the only bond involved is lust. And that's true. Animal passions are referred to as love. There's no element of commitment to each other. And the truth of the matter is, sadly, some relationships in the animal kingdom that are built on instinct last longer than relationships among people. Isn't that sad? It's said that certain species of wolves, certain species of geese, and a few others in the animal kingdom, they mate for life. They choose a partner and stay together based on instinct. And couples are supposed to be in love with each other. Split up and move on to somebody else. And then after 4 or 5 years, split up and move on to somebody else. It's a shame. It's a shame. To learn about love, to learn about true love, real love, lasting love, where do we go? Well, we go where we ought to go. We go to the Word of God. We go to the source of truth. That's the Bible. And in this passage of Scripture in John 15, He who is the truth, that's Jesus, speaks about love. If you've got a red letter Bible, almost this entire chapter, if not all this chapter, is in red letters. Meaning it came from the very lips of Jesus Christ. Now, this chapter is part of the teaching that Jesus gave to His disciples after He told them He was soon to go away. So His words were preparing them, now listen, for life after His days on earth. Right now He's present with them. But He's not always going to be present with them. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm leaving. And it troubled them. And He continued to talk from chapter 14 and 15 and 16 about trying to prepare them for life after His days on earth. Now, I want you to look at verse number 9, because in verse number 9, Jesus mentions two loves. Look at it. He says, first of all, He mentions the Father's love for the Son. He says, as the Father hath loved Me. That's the Father's love for the Son. Then He mentions the Son's love for the disciples, for His followers. Look at what He says, as the Father hath loved Me, that's the Father's love for the Son, so have I loved you. So He's mentioning two kinds of love. The Father's love for Himself and His love for His followers. Can I say this morning, church, what a love we are loved with. We are loved by Jesus with the same love that His Father loves Him. Now, is it possible for you and me with a human mind, a finite mind, a mortal mind, is it possible for us to measure, to gauge the dimensions of the love with which God the Father loves God the Son? Can we gauge that? How can we begin to define that love? It's nigh unto impossible. It's mind-boggling to try to consider, comprehend how much God the Father loves God the Son. And what a blessing to be loved by Jesus the Son with the same love that God the Father loves Him. That's what the Bible teaches us. No wonder Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 3. He said this. Part of his prayer was that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. What did he mean by that? You want to know how our relationship with God began? It began with His love. For God so loved the world. It began with love. We're rooted in love. We're grounded in love. So he says, I'm praying for you that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, listen, may be able to comprehend, wrap your mind around with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That was his prayer. That these Ephesian Christians who were rooted and grounded in the love of God would be able to comprehend just how broad and high and long and deep the love of God was and is for them. And you know, that wouldn't be a bad prayer for you and me to pray. Father in heaven, help us to know your love, to grow, to comprehend the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of your love for Christ. Help us to know the love that you love Christ with, so that we can know His love for us. Because people, the love that God loves Jesus with is the love that Jesus loves you and me with. That's huge. It's huge. What a blessing to know that love. What a blessing to enjoy that love. To enjoy it. So the question today, is that special and full love of Jesus, is that love known by all of His followers? Is this a love that people who are saved just automatically experience all the time? Well, part of the answer to those questions is found in that last phrase of verse number 9. He said, as the Father hath loved me, that's God's love for Him, so have I loved you, that's His love for us. Then look what He says. Continue ye in my love. That's a kind of strange phrase, isn't it? I mean, doesn't God love us unconditionally? Doesn't God love us all the time? Why would Christ say, continue ye in my love? It's very similar to what Jude wrote in his short letter in verse number 21, where he said this, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Continue ye in my love. What he's saying, church, is this, stay in a condition. And that is a key word. I'm going to pause here. This is not even in my notes, but I know I'm supposed to say this because the Lord just brought it. Listen very carefully. Condition is a key word. I am not talking about position this morning. Our position, if you're saved, your position is in Christ. That is unmovable. That's unshakable. You're in. That's your position. But our condition is not static. Continue ye in my love. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Stay in a condition, not position, condition, where you can experience and enjoy the love Christ has for you, which is the same love Christ receives from His Father. So the Son gets love from the Father, and the Son passes it on to His followers. He passes on the same love that He got from His Father to you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me. But he says, now continue that. Stay there. Keep yourselves in that love. The love Christ has for us is difficult to measure because we can't measure the love that God has for Christ. It's the same love. So that the depth and the breadth and the height and the length of the love of Christ for us it's almost humanly impossible. It's almost impossible to comprehend. And so He says, stay in a condition, keep yourselves in a condition where that kind of love is poured out on you, and you know it. And there's a qualification involved. If you and I are to enjoy and experience that love, there's a qualification involved. Look at verse number 10. It continues. Christ continues here. He says, if. Okay, now we got a condition. Right? If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. You know what we got here, folks? We got cause and effect. Here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, my goodness, He said, this is a wonderful topic, fellas, talking to these disciples and the others that are there. He said, I want you to know that God loves the Son. And I want you to know that as much as God loves me, with that same love, I love you. It's a love that you can enjoy. It's a love that you can experience. It's a love that you can revel in if you will continue in it. If you'll keep yourselves in it. And the way you continue or abide or keep yourself in a condition where you can experience and enjoy my love is if you keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments. Now look. This qualification, it's in verses 9 through 17. I'm not going to be able to preach on every verse this morning. It'll be forever. But I want you to know in verses 9 through 17, the two words love or loved are used nine times. Nine times he uses the word love or loved. in those same verses, the words command, commandment, commandments are used five times. What is he saying? If you want to know, if you want to enjoy, if you want to experience the great love that God the Father has for His Son and that I have for you, then you need to obey my commandments. Obey my commandments. Now, people, don't whine that this is hard to understand. Well, I just don't understand this. I mean, Jesus loves me no matter what I do, and He loves me unconditionally. Yes, He absolutely does. But if you're going to enjoy and experience and know, be aware of that love, you're going to have to be obedient to Him. That's what He's saying. Disobedience to Christ does not alter His love for us, but it does affect our ability to enjoy that love. When our children were at home, I know this is going to shock you, once in a while they did wrong. Probably doesn't shock you about Abby, but it does about Luke, I'm sure. Amen. So, but anyway, Abby's in the nursery this morning, so she didn't hear me. And I know somebody won't tell her what I said. So they did wrong, and I had to punish them. Did my love for them change or alter when I punished them? In fact, it was proof of my love for them. Right? Book of Proverbs tells us that. Did I enjoy it? Did they enjoy it? No. This hurts me more than it hurts you. Not really. When my children disobeyed and had to be punished, my love for them did not change, but the expression of my love was not enjoyable. Does that make sense? It's not enjoyable. Go downstairs. Yay! I don't think that ever happened. Go downstairs. I love you, Daddy. Don't you know how much I love you? Go downstairs. Yeah, but you got to know it. You know, it was his fault. It was her fault. Go downstairs. They couldn't enjoy it. And I'm going to tell you something. There is something to this matter of enjoying Christ's love. Being in a condition where you and I can revel in His love. Experience, enjoy it. That's what He's telling His disciples here. Now let me just give you some obvious things from this passage that I think will help us this morning. First of all, some of this we'll just go through quickly. Number one, Jesus obeyed His Father. Did you know that? Look at verse number 10. Look at what He says. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Watch this. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments. So Jesus obeyed His Father. I've often said, when Jesus was on the earth, He was not freelancing through life. He wasn't doing His own thing the way He wanted to do it. Absolutely not. He came to obey His Father. John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, the disciples, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. Who's sinning? God the Father. John 5:30, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. That's a capital F, talking about God the Father. I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do His will. John 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. John 8:29, for I do always, now there, I do always those things that please Him. If a child can say that about their parents, I do always those things that please my parents. What does that mean? That means, number one, they're lying. But if they could say that, it would mean that they are obeying their parents. But Jesus could say, I do always those things that please Him because He always obeyed His Father. John 14, verse 31, as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. And that famous passage in Matthew 26, 39, when He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. Did Jesus obey His Father? All through His earthly ministry. He obeyed His Father's will. For those 33 plus years where Jesus in a human body lived on this earth, He obeyed His Father's will. Okay? That goes without question. Then number two follows on the heels of number one. Jesus continued in His Father's love. Look at verse number 10. I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. I live there. I dwell there. I enjoy His love. I experience. I live with the knowledge of His love. So He obeyed His Father's will. That put Him in a condition where He could enjoy His Father's love. Because people, the place of obedience to His Father was the place where Jesus could best enjoy and experience God's love. Enjoying the outpouring of love from His Father was possible because of Christ's obedience. That's what He's saying in verse number 10. Verse 9, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. I'm doing God's will. I'm obeying Him willingly, voluntarily. And because I am, I abide in His love. I dwell in His love. I walk in His love. I have a sense of His love. I have a knowledge, an understanding, a comprehension of His love for me. Now, somebody says, well, my goodness, what about that time that He spent on the cross? Well, that's very interesting, isn't it? But do you understand that on the cross, the Son was made sin for us? Do you understand that on the cross, Jesus endured the wrath of God because He became our substitute? He was punished for our disobedience as He was made disobedience for us. So much so that His Father forsook Him when He hung there to the point where Jesus cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken? But it's obvious. Through His life on earth, He obeyed His Father's will. It was His Father's will on that day to go to the cross and be made sin for us and pay the sin debt that you and I rightly owe. And that's a little hard to wrap our minds around completely, but it's not hard for us to wrap our minds around the fact that Jesus obeyed His Father, and because He obeyed His Father, He continued in His Father's love. That's not hard. Look at John 17. Turn the page. You're right there. John chapter 17. Jesus reveled in the love of God. He enjoyed the love of God. Look at verse number 23. Look at verse number 23. He's praying to His Father, I and them and Thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that Thou hast sent me and hast loved them. Watch what He says here. As Thou hast loved me. He knew His Father's love. Look at verse 24. Look at the very end of the verse. For Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Look at verse 26. That the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them. He's praying to His Father and He is rejoicing in God's love. You've loved me. 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 How did He know that? Was God verbally speaking to His Son every day? Son, remember I love you. Son, remember I love you. Don't forget I love you. Don't forget that I love you. Don't forget. You know why Jesus knew the love of His Father? You know why He reveled in it? You know why He enjoyed it? You know why He experienced it? Because He obeyed His Father. And that obedience kept Him in a condition where He could love, He could experience and enjoy the love of His. You know what? A husband and wife get sideways with each other and they don't fix it. They let it go and it just deepens and deepens and widens and widens and widens. You know, it's hard to enjoy each other's love. God loved His Son beyond human comprehension. The breadth, the depth, the length, the height cannot be known. And Jesus reveled in that. He lived in it. He enjoyed it. He experienced it because He obeyed His Father. That obedience put Him in a condition where He could enjoy His Father's love. He reveled in His Father's love for Him. He was able to enjoy it fully because He obeyed His Father's commandments. Now, I get it, folks. I get it. Jesus didn't have any sin. So He wasn't going to stray from His Father's commandments. But this is an example for you and me because the same thing is true for us. Same thing. Now, let's write number three. We demonstrate our love for Jesus by our obedience. We demonstrate our love for Jesus by our obedience. This passage is a continuation of a previous teaching. Look at John chapter 14. Look at John 14, just the previous chapter. Look at verse number 15. He says, if ye love Me, what do? Keep My what? Commandments. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 23, chapter 14, if a man love Me, he will do what? Keep My what? Words. You know, we better understand that loving Jesus properly is not reflected by some warm and fuzzy feeling of emotion that overwhelms us from time to time. Loving Jesus properly is reflected in our obedience to His words, to His commands. You know what that means? That means that man standing with a cigar in his mouth and a Bud Light in his hand and his arm around a woman that he's not married to, saying, I love God, that means most assuredly, he does not love God. He does not. Because love is reflected in what? Obedience. Obedience. That's why Jesus Christ could enjoy to the fullest degree the love of His Father, because Christ had no sin. You and I are challenged to obey Him. And if we love Him, we will obey Him. Not everybody who obeys Jesus loves Jesus. Did you know that? Some people obey Him out of rote. Some people obey Him out of fear. Some people obey Him out of obligation. But everybody who loves Jesus obeys Jesus. And by the way, listen to what He said. He did not say, if you keep My words, you love Me. He said, if you love Me, keep My words. He did not say, if you keep My commandments, you love Me. What He said was, if you love Me, keep My commandments. Well, it's the same thing. No, it's not. It's like giving. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Example, we've used it before. You go down here to Kroger, Walgreens, Walmart, back pre-COVID days when we had some freedom in this country. There's a little kid from the baseball team selling his $2 box of M&Ms. And, you know, say what you want to say. You shouldn't give your money to a bear. Okay, I get it, but little kids, it's hard to say no to kids. So I'm just, you know, now if they want to sell me an $9 box of cookies, it's easy to say no to. But a $1 candy bar, $2 little box of M&Ms, you know, this is going to help our baseball team. Okay, here you go. So I give the kid some money. Do I love that kid? I don't know that kid. I don't know his name from Adam. In fact, I don't think I've ever run into anybody selling candy that I knew. But I did give him some money. But I don't love him. But you know what? If I love somebody, I will give. And there is a difference. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And here's what Jesus says. Here is how you can know that my followers love me. They will keep my commandments. That's how you can know that they love me. They will keep my commandments. Love is demonstrated by obedience. How much do I love Jesus? Well, how much am I willing to obey Him? John 14:24, He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. So here's what it boils down to, folks. If I don't love Him at all, I will have no interest in obeying His words. If I love Him a little bit, I'll have a little interest in obeying His words. If I love Him with average love, I'll have average interest in obeying His words. If I love Him much, I will have much interest in obeying His words. It's automatic. If I love Him, it'll be reflected in my obedience to Him. Be reflected. You think it would be possible for Jesus to come to earth and do His own thing while He was here and say, well, God, you know, I'm not going to do that that you want me to do. I'm not going to go over here. I'm not going to go over here. I'm not going to go heal this person, do this miracle. But I want you to know I do love you. Would that make sense? Wouldn't make any sense. Obedience to Jesus is the proof of love for Jesus. And church, should we not love Him? Should we not? Remember His great love for us. Remember He obeyed His Father's will going to the cross where He was not treated as the Son. He was treated as sin for us, bearing our sins in His own body to the tree. Should we not love Him? We of course should love. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to you adult men. I'm talking to you adult ladies. I'm talking to the young men. I'm talking to the young women. I'm talking to the teenagers, to the elementary school child. All of us, ought we not love Him? And if we do, guess what will happen? We'll obey Him. We'll obey Him. And it won't be with this, okay, if I have to. No. It'll be with, okay, I want to. I get to. We ought to love Him. Again, not everybody who obeys Jesus loves Jesus, because some people just obey Jesus out of, all right, got to go to church, got to go, got to read my Bible, got to. That's not what He wants. He wants, I want to. I want to. Jesus obeyed His Father. He continued in His Father's love. And when you and I love Jesus like we ought, obedience will be the proof of it. But here's the folks. Here's where it gets good, folks. We will enjoy Jesus' love for us if we obey His commandments. You want to know the payoff for loving Jesus and obeying Him? You and I know His love. We know it. And that's what He said in verse number 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. That's what He said in verse number 14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. There is a place where the followers of Christ will enjoy the outpouring of His love, the fullness of His love, where we can know the breadth, the height, the length, the depth of His love. Where is that place? It's the place of obedience to His words. Do you want to know His love? Love Him. It'll be reflected in your obedience. And your obedience puts you in the condition to enjoy His love. It works wonderfully. You know, I remember when Tom, my brother, was diagnosed at age 48 with brain cancer. And I remember how devastated my parents were. I remember being there at the hospital on that day in Ohio where the diagnosis came, okay? And it was one of the most difficult times. Lisa went into this little consulting room with her daughter Sarah and her son Matthew. I think maybe Zach was there, I don't remember. And she told me, she said, Terry, I want you to come in there with me. And It was just one of the most difficult things to ever go through when the doctor comes down and starts explaining to this man's wife and kids that he's got this stage 4 brain cancer. He's 48 years of age. And then I had to go out and share the news with the family and the people who were gathered in the room there waiting to hear it. And I won't never forget Dad and Mom's reaction. And listen carefully to what I'm saying. Tom was the son that never gave him any problem. He wasn't a perfect son. He wasn't sinless. But he never gave him any problem. He obeyed. He lived in obedience to them. I would never say that my parents loved Tom more than me, more than Tim. But I would say that Tom lived so that he could enjoy that love. More so than I could, especially. It was impossible for me to enjoy the love of my dad and the love of my mother when I was breaking their heart. Week after week after week. Y'all get what I'm saying? It didn't change my dad's love for me. It didn't change my mother's love for me. It didn't change it at all. The person that it changed, it changed my ability to revel in that love. I couldn't do it. Because I was disobedient. Rebellious. But Tom, he lived so he could enjoy it. He lived so he could experience it. And that's one reason, and I'm not saying that, you know, if I got some kind of brain cancer, my mother would say, well, too bad. I'm sure she wouldn't say that, you know. Better not. No. I won't come shoot your squirrels if you do that anymore. So. With a pellet pistol, please. Okay, I know she's in town. Hey, folks, we can't change the love of God. We can't alter that. But you and I can affect how much we enjoy it. And you're not going to enjoy it if you live in disobedience to Him. And you're going to blame it on the Christian life. Or blame it on your parents. Or blame it on the church. Or blame it on the school. And we just can't be happy. Let me tell you why you can't be happy. As a child of God, reveling in the love of God is because you're probably living in disobedience to God. Jesus loves me when I'm good. When I do the things I should, Jesus loves me when I'm bad, though it makes Him very sad. Does it change His love? But it changes how much I can enjoy it. Continue ye in my love. My love for you is so deep, so high, so broad, so wide, you can't even humanly wrap your mind around it. But I want you to know, I love you with the same love that my Father loves me. Now, stay there. Stay in that place where I can pour my love out on you. Where you know it. When I am bad, disobedient, I cannot continue in the fullness of enjoying His love. But when I'm good, when I'm obedient, then I can continue in the fullness of enjoying His love. I got to stop. Look at verse number 11. Look what he says. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. What things is he talking about? Well, verse 11 follows what verse? Hello, are y'all out there? Verse 11 follows what verse? Follows verse 10. These things I'm telling you, I'm telling you so that my joy might remain in you, your joy might be full. If you will continue in my love, if you'll obey me, if you'll keep my commandments, it allows you to stay in a condition in this life where you can know my love. And the knowledge of my love is going to bring you tremendous joy. And doesn't it do that, church? When you and I are living in obedience to God, and we are the recipients of a fullness of joy, we know, we understand how much God loves us. We need to learn a lesson from man's best friend. Who is man's best friend? It's not a cat. It is a dog. And the dog keeps his eyes on his master, and whatever the master tells him to do, he obeys immediately. And then the master comes up to the dog and scratches his ears, right? Good boy, good boy, good boy. Even if it's a girl, good boy, good boy, good boy. Okay? Good boy, good boy. What does that dog's tail do? His tail wags so hard it gets his whole body moving. Right? He's full of what? Joy. He's full of it. You see, one of your Christian brothers or sisters walking down the sidewalk tomorrow, and they're doing this, maybe. We know we laugh and that's silly, but you know what? What a shame to be a child of God and go through life ignorant of how much He loves us. Because we don't live in obedience to Him. Saved people, I'm done, who feel deprived of the love of Christ. I don't experience the love of God. Did you just tell on yourself? Don't confess it to me. Confess it to God. We when you and I live in obedience to Christ, we won't feel deprived of His love. It'll overflow in our hearts. It will bear witness to us. The songwriter got it right. We sang it this morning. My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the what? Follies of what? Disobedience. I resign. It's a great... Look, I have bumbled and fumbled around. I knew it going into it. It's sometimes difficult to preach on the love of Christ adequately. And I did not do this because it was Valentine's Day. I did this because God put it on my heart a couple of weeks ago. This passage just really. God loves the Son with this incomprehensible love. And the Son takes that love that God loves Him with and loves us in the same way. But there's a stipulation. You stay in that place. Stay there. Just abide there. Continue there. Keep yourself in that place where you can experience and know the love of Christ that is unfathomable. Let it well up in your heart and soul. Let it overwhelm you. Let it fill you with joy. And you can, and it'll be that way if you obey my commandments. If you truly love me, you'll obey. And that obedience is going to keep you right in that spot where you can enjoy Christ's love. Do you know that Christ loves you? Do you know it? Do you think about it during the day? Does it ever come up in the processes of your thinking? Wow. Well, get in that place. Make sure you're in that place where you can experience and enjoy Christ's love. It's wonderful. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank You for Your love for us. And I pray that You'll take the message today, and Father, I pray that You'll make it comprehensible, understandable to our hearts and lives. It's sometimes tough to wrap our minds around when we have Jesus as an example. And Lord, but I think the truth can be grabbed today that you love us with such a love, and we need to stay in a condition where we can enjoy that and be filled with the joy that comes from it. I pray, dear Lord, for anybody living deprived of your love. Help them to examine their heart. Help them to examine their life. Is there an area where I'm disobedient to you? Help me to get it fixed. We constantly have to be altered and changed. Help us to stay in that place where we can enjoy an outpouring of your love. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, something was said that resonated in my heart. The Spirit of God touched me. You know, I need a little bit of amending, changing in my obedience so that I can live enjoying and experiencing the love of Christ. So if that's you this morning, God spoke to your heart, lift a hand this morning before we pray. Yes. Amen. Is there anybody here this morning? You're not sure you're saved. Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. He died to pay your sin debt. And you could be saved by trusting in what Christ did for you. Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? If not, can I pray for you? If you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven, can you slip your hand in the air? And I'm just going to pray for God to speak to anybody's heart this morning that's lost, unsaved, unsure of heaven. Is that you? I see a small child's hand. God bless you. Somebody else. If you're here this morning, you've been saved, need to be baptized, that's always available at the close of the service. You see one of these men. Father, we come to you this morning. We pray that you'll speak to our hearts as only you can. And I pray, God, that somehow the Holy Spirit will take the truth of this and just, Lord, bear it deep down into our hearts. Help us to live enjoying Christ's love. I pray in His name this morning. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The pianist begins the song of invitation. Would you obey the Lord if God spoke to your heart this morning? Does something need to be changed? Does something need to be amended? Does something need to be fixed? Does something need to be confessed? Has your knowledge, your experience of Christ's love, has it kind of dried up? Well, it hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. Check your life. Check your heart. Stay in that condition where you can experience, to know the love of Christ. For it to be known. Revel in it. Ask God to fix you. Our Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your love that Jesus bestows upon us. Help us to live in a condition where we can enjoy it. Day after day after day, behold what manner of love you've bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Help us to enjoy it, revel in it, by living obediently to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.